To the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite and those listening to Radio Islam via the internet around the world, if you have any questions, SMS those questions to us. The cell phone number is +2711. If you're calling outside the country, it's +2711 0825 880 8070. And the landline telephone number at Radio Islam is 854-7022. The dialing code is 011. Simply phone and leave your questions there. And the fax number of Radio Islam is 011-854-7024. Rishab, we have one question that just came in about a day ago, and it is from a brother with regards to zakat. He says, I have two questions pertaining to zakat. The one is, I am working and married. Can my father pay my zakat?
If he's, first of all, he has to calculate, does he have to pay zakat or not? And if he has to pay zakat, and then his father decides to pay zakat on his behalf, it is permissible.
All right. The second question is, I have purchased a house which I am renting out, which, however, it has been paid for. The amount purchased was 100,000 rands. Do I pay zakat on that?
He will pay zakat on the rental of the house, not on the capital 100,000. In fact, this will apply to all other building investments. A person owns a block of flats. Then he will pay on the renter, not on the initial capital investment. Obviously, the rental will be classified as asset when he is doing his calculation. The expenditures on the building will be classified as liabilities.
All right. Before we go on further, we have another question that affects Radio Islam. It says, the question pertains to nose drops and eye drops. The question is, can a person who is sick inhale some menthol type medicine through the nose to clear the head during fasting in Ramadan? And can a person put eye drops in the eye during fasting in Ramadan?
There are a lot of masalas mentioned there. First of all, as far as eye drops are concerned, it's stated very clearly in the classical books that a person can use surma whilst fasting, and even if the surma tastes a little bit of it comes on the throat via the throat onto the tongue, then the surma usage does not invalidate, does not break the fast. So thus eye drops will be permissible. However, nose drops will break the fast, invalidate the fast. And if the person utilizes the nose drops due to severe medical condition, obviously there will be qaza, meaning the person will keep a fast for a fast, not kafara. Also, a person may inhale any vapor but not put any gel, be it whatever the gel may be, Vicks or whatever gel, he cannot put into the nose. No sooner they put any gel, whatever the name is, it will break the fast. A person cannot also use any nasal spray via fasting. As soon as the person does that, the fast will be invalidated.
All right, JazakAllah for that explanation. The next question is, before we continue, to the listeners of Satellite Islam and Radio, due to technical problems, we are still experiencing, we cannot take your questions live, but you could SMS us your questions on the cell phone number, which is 082-580-8070. And the questions in turn will be lodged to Mufti Ilyas Saab. And also, inshallah, you can call the front desk. The telephone number there is 011-854-7022. You can leave your questions there with Brother Muhammad Bulbulia, or you can fax us your questions right now. And the fax number is 011-854-7024. Again, the number here, inshallah, is the telephone number is 082-580-8070. But the next question is, if blood is taken out of the body, does this break the fast?
As far as the blood taken out, so we will get three, four reasons for this. One is, for example, a person wants to have blood sugar test and there is a small prick. That is permissible. Basically, blood removal will not invalidate the fast. A person, for example, had to go due to emergency, give a blood sample for testing. That will be permissible. A person, for example, had to give blood per se. That will be permissible. It will not break the fast. It will not invalidate the fast. In the hadith, it comes that the one who is cupping and the one who has himself cupped, the fast breaks. However, the scholars of Islam have interpreted that hadith meaning that it leads to breaking, or there is a high risk of breaking. Why? Because the one who whose blood is extracted via cupping or any other means in Ramadan will become extremely weak, and due to this weakness, his fast is in jeopardy and is a high risk and possibility that he may break his fast due to weakness which was caused and resulted from cupping. And the one who is cupping, because he is going to draw and suck blood and pull blood, then there is a strong possibility that while drawing blood, obviously he is doing this with his mouth, via the mouth, using the mouth, then there is a strong possibility that blood could go down his throat and that will invalidate his fast. So we should worry about that also.
We have an SMS question. It says, can a female fast the sixth nafil of Shawwal with the same intention of must fast during Ramadan?
Fasting the sixth fast of Shawwal is rewardable, tremendous reward in that. However, that the females should know clearly that they should keep their fast, the qaza fast, which they have missed, obviously some 6, 7, 8, whatever the case may be, they should keep the qaza fast first with only qaza niyat, with only qaza intention. And subsequently, thereafter, they can keep the 6th Shawwal fast. Neither the qaza fast nor the Shawwal fast have to be kept one after the other. They can be kept one fast, then miss one, and miss two, then another fast. But the intention for the qaza has to be separate, and the intention for the Shawwal has to be separate. They cannot combine with one intention. They cannot say, I'm keeping qaza and Shawwal and keep one only fast. They have to keep two separate fasts. One qaza and the other Shawwal.
Alright, JazakAllah. The time now is 9 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And also to listeners, we are doing questions and answer session with Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. And if you have any questions, general questions with regards to the month of Ramadan, questions on i'tikaf, questions on zakat, for example, and even questions on Hajj and Umrah, you can call us on 011-854-70. The lines are not working, but you can SMS those questions, and the SMS or the cell phone number is 082-580-8070. The receptionist telephone number is 011-854-7022, and the fax number at Radio Islam is 011-854-7024. Lisa, the next question is SMS question. If a lady would like to go on Hajj but does not have a mahram to go with, what should she do?
This is an important question, and we should take cognizance of the fact that the hadith is very clear that the female should not make safar, should not journey without the mahram. Mahram means someone whom she cannot marry, like her father, her son, her brother, her uncle, and obviously that her husband is her valid Shari mahram. Now, if she does not have husband, brother, father, son, then obviously she does not possess, have a mahram. The result is that she should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide her with a mahram. If she does not in the near future foresee that she will get a mahram, she must take aside money and stipulate in her will form that in her death, the event of her death, then someone should make her hajj badal. It is stated clearly that it is not compulsory for her, not wajib for her, not obligatory for her to go for hajj without a mahram. When she gets a mahram, she may proceed. Unfortunately, that people are under the impression that a group of ladies can proceed for hajj. However, I've been informed that this year that the authorities are going to be scrutinizing and finding out who are the mahrams before issuing visas.
So this is may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her a mahram, and may Allah Rabbul Izzat ease all her affairs inshallah in dunya, qabr and akhirat as well. The time now is 6 minutes to 2 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. To the listeners, inshallah, we are taking on the questions. You can SMS your questions. The cell phone number is 082-580-8070. We have a question also with regards to a lady who's got two boys she has adopted. What is the masana once those two boys come of age?
Once those boys come of age, then as for Sharia, hijab is necessary, and they do not become technically her mahram. Also, they will not inherit from her. So three things are coming quickly into place. That first of all, that hijab is necessary. That means she will have to make hijab from them. They will have to make hijab from her. Secondly, they do not serve as an adequate mahram for her. Thirdly, that in her, upon her demise, they do not inherit from her estate. However, to help, what is the case? Initially, what's supposed to have been done, that she should have breastfed these children so that they become hers. And after that, the laws of hijab will go away. And the laws of mahram, then they can become her mahram. She can stipulate in her will from her one-third portion that these children can inherit from that one-third by way of gift.
Alright, JazakAllah, it's 5 minutes to 2 o'clock. We'll set up the next question on the screen here is, how is zakat paid in a shop which I opened 3 months ago with stock of 100,000 rand?
If you have opened your shop 3 months ago with a stock of 100,000, then for you currently, technically speaking, in the light of Sharia, there is no zakat at the moment. Why? Because your stock in trade, your assets, are not with you for whole for one Islamic lunar entire year. So if you want to give zakat, you may give zakat on your stock holding of 100,000 in advance. Allah will reward you, and then it will also facilitate and make it easier for your future calculation. Then next Ramadan, you can calculate your zakat. However, if you do not give your zakat now, you are not sinful, because it is not you are not liable to give zakat at the moment. Yes, when you have got that stock for one Islamic lunar entire year, then you will have to give a zakat on your current assets.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question which is up on the cell phone is that, before we come to that, we have another question here. With regards to injections while fasting, is it permissible to take an injection while fasting, and does that nullify and break the roza, Mutisa?
See, as far as injections are concerned, that the rule of permissibility is there any, the rule of permissibility is given. However, we must understand something about injection, that this is not the first resort for relief of difficulties, pain, or whatever the problem is. This is the last resort, that a person will take an injection not due to one toe paining or eye twitching or paining. For silly reasons, a person should not take the injection. A pious, righteous doctor should administer the injection as a last resort, not first resort. So although the taking of the injection will not invalidate or break or nullify the fast, but the injection should not be taken hastily without having patience. More patience the person got, Allah will reward tremendously.
Alright, inshallah. So the next question is on the cell phone. To the listeners, again, if you have any questions, you can SMS us your questions, and the personal cell phone number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, 082-580-8070, and the questions in turn will be directed to Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas. The question on the cell phone is, Salam, if your nose bleeds, does it break your fast?
The bleeding nose will not invalidate the fast, irrespective of the quantity. Just like the person whilst fasting, he passes urine, stool, and also whilst fasting, the pus flows from the wound, or whilst fasting, the person cries, tears come out of the eyes. All these do not break the fast. Similarly, bleeding nose or involuntary vomit will not break the fast.
Alright. So the next question is, I am 23 years old. I have a renal chronic illness. I have a renal infection. My neurologist and urologist have advised me to drink lots of fluids as I am prone to bladder infections. Is it permissible for me to miss in between fast and pray after Ramadan?
If a pious, reliable neurologist has stated that for your condition you should be taking water, and as a result they have advised you that you should fast few days and skip one, then it will be permissible on the advice, and the responsibility of that ruling will be on those doctors or that physician making and giving that advice. However, after Ramadan, there will be no giving of fidya, but the number of fasts and the quantity of fasts missed in Ramadan will be covered up by the way of qaza, not kafara. Qaza meaning that if you had missed 10 fasts in Ramadan due to the ailment and on the advice of the medical practitioner, then after Ramadan you will keep 10 qaza fasts, not necessarily all at one time, but as and when your health allows you, and as and when the health permits you to do so, you should keep all your qaza fasts.
Alright. Ustaz, the next question is, should one break your fast with the time given, should one break your fast with the time given on the Ramadan timetable or your local masjid? Sometimes the muezzin is 2 to 3 minutes delayed. Does this not make the fast makruh?
In the hadith, it has been stated clearly that there will be khair and barakah in the life of the Muslims as long as they act contrary to the Ahl al-Kitab in various things. One is by opening the fast, breaking their fast, or terminating their fast as soon as the time sets in. Also, yes, similar ahadiths have been narrated about taking sehri and partaking of the pre-tiffin meal. However, by delaying does not mean 2-3 minutes. By delaying means that by undue delaying 15-20 minutes. Now, due to caution, the muazzin and the trustees of the masjid generally give their azans a little later than the sunset. However, this is not makruh. In fact, it is good, a precautionary method. So, by following the precautionary method, one is not sinful and one will still attain and obtain the barakah blessing as stipulated in the hadith. And it is advisable to be a little cautious, meaning 1-2 minutes after the stipulated sunset time. That will not injure or harm the fast. In fact, one will be satisfied adequately in the mind that the fast has been opened in a very cautious time.
Alright, JazakAllah. Well, Issa, we have another about 10 questions on the cell phone. The one being saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufisam. I don't have any assets or property. I am working. I have about 3,000 rands worth of jewelry, and I have account valued at about 10,000 rands. How should I pay my zakat?
Obviously, on the paid up card, there is no zakat because that's of usage and not for sale. And 3,000 rand jewelry, the zakat will be payable on that, because currently the zakat in Nisab, I think, is sitting at 1,025 rand. So the amount upon which zakat has to be calculated will be 3,000 rand.
So I'm going on further. The next question is pertaining to sajidahs. Can the 14 sajidahs be made after completing the Quran Kareem, or do they have to be made immediately?
The best course of action is and will be that as soon as one recites the sajda ayat, which have been adequately marked in the Quran Kareem, then one should pause the Quran tilawat, make the sajda tilawat, then continue and resume making the Quran tilawat. However, if a person makes all of them after the entire completion of Quran, the Quran, then that is permissible also, although that is not the best of actions. The reason being that once something has become necessary, it should be done. Perhaps, perchance, the person does not even complete the Quran Kareem and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the life of the person, then what will happen? The person has got some form the sujda tilawat.
Alright, the next question being of Islam Salam, can you put the Quran Kareem on the cell phone? Can you carry it on you without wudu and in the toilet?
It is permissible.
It is from Muslim Allah. JazakAllah for that question. And I think the question came quite a few times in the last few days and weeks. The next question is pertaining to talaq. It says, Assalamu alaikum. If a husband has given his wife 3 talaqs just to please her and now she wants him back, but he can't see her marry another man, how do they get back together? And is it okay if while they divorce to spend time with one another because of the children? Sorry, I know these questions are not related to Ramadan, but any clarity immediately, Mutisa?
First of all, once the person has issued 3 talaqs, then it is valid and it has occurred and the Sharia legal implications are now in procedure, meaning that the husband and wife are separated. Also, he should definitely stay away from his ex-wife. If they, for the children's sake, are meeting, then the children should be spending time with either one of them, not together, because the children have to be educated that their father and mother are separated and not father and mother, husband and wife. The only method as prescribed in Shariat is that the ex-wife has to get married and that whole procedure has to take place. There is no other method.
Alright. The time now is 60 minutes past 2 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And to the listeners, due to technical problems we are experiencing, having, we cannot take your questions live. but you could SMS us your questions on cell phone number 082-580-8070. The front desk telephone number is 011-854-7022, and the fax number is 011-854-7024. Send all your questions through, inshallah, and those questions will be directed to Mufti Saab. The next question, Mufti Saab, pertains to swimming. Is swimming fasted while fasting?
Does swimming invalidate the fast?
Is it makruh to swim while keeping roza?
Okay. Whilst a person is fasting, then it will be permissible to swim, provided that water does not go down the throat. If water goes down the throat, then the fast will be invalidated. So if you are not a good swimmer, it is highly advisable for you not to be swimming in the month of Ramadan. And if you feel extremely hot and you're not a good swimmer, then showering is permissible while fasting. The rule, you must understand, that whilst swimming, intake of water will break, invalidate the fast, making the person liable to keep one qaza fast.
Alright, Mufti Saab, 18 minutes past 2 o'clock. The next question being from my sister. When a woman has menses, is she allowed to read from kitabs containing Quranic ayat?
If there is no known Quran in that book, then it is permissible.
Alright. The next question is, Mufti Saab, during the course of the day, a lady has made niyyat for fasting, but her menses start. Does she break her fast or does she wait till iftar time?
Her fast has automatically become nullified. She may partake of food, obviously not in public, but in privacy.
Alright. The next question is, I have a business and I've fallen into debt. Can I use zakat to pay merchants rentals and wages, although I do have TVs, videos, etc.? Jazakallah.
Although it is permissible, it would be highly recommended and encouraged to sell off all these unnecessary items. They are not even classified of luxury and comfort. In fact, they lead towards sin. So those items should be sold and then pay out your debt.
Alright. The next question, Mufti Saab, is just coming back to the cell phone. Jazakallah for the most interesting informative program. Is the kitab Panj Surah Sharif authentic? And is it permissible to make dhikr in the mind with the mouth closed? And the third question is, comment on Eid money. The first one being with regards to Kitab and Surah, it says, Mufti Saab, is it authentic?
The compilation Panj Surah basically is a Farsi word meaning five surahs, and five surahs have been compiled into one Kitab. It is permissible because those five surahs are obviously from the Quran al-Kareem. So to recite Quran al-Kareem, the is permissible, laudable, rewardable. Now to read the five surahs as compiled in the Panj Surah is permissible. However, the other things in the Panj Surah, I do not know. So if someone can send me one Panj Surah, then I can check it out and see what else is inside the compilation of Panj Surah. But from the external, as the name suggests, that it has got five surahs that will be permissible to read. The second question,
Mufti Saab, was, is it permissible to make dhikr in the mind with the mouth closed?
First of all, to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is permissible, encouraged, laudable, rewardable, and it gains proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should make dhikr all the time, every time, and stated on the day of judgment, a person will have only one regret, and that regret will be that he will say, perhaps I should not have wasted my time and I should have kept my tongue with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wet with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of utmost importance, and a person standing, sitting, should be making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran al-Kareem, reading the subhanallah, the tamheed, the Allahu Akbar, etc., so that he gains proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reciting Durood Sharif is excellent, and also all the masnoon duas which have been stipulated and recommended, the dua for going to toilet, coming out, the dua for eating, sleeping, the dua for going to the bazaar, all these duas should be memorized as much as possible, and a person should recite it. It is part of zikr. However, that to make zikr in the heart is something that is very difficult to obtain, attain, and achieve, and it requires great amount of devotion, sincerity, and exercise, then that is achieved. However, if a person is able to make zikr in the heart and in the mind, then that is permissible, provided he knows what he is doing, and this should be learned and done under a guidance of a proper spiritual mentor and guide who can supervise the action of his murid.
All right. And a third question the lady wants to know, Mufti Sahib, is, can Mufti Sahib comment on Eid money?
Eid money, I presume they are talking about Eid gifts.
Yeah.
They generally coming to Eid, then family members exchange gifts, and also family members, they give their family members, junior ones, Eid gifts, and what we generally call as Eid, that is permissible, and at times it brings about some harmony, cooperation, and love and brotherhood. However, if not received, one should not feel hurt about it, and also one should clearly understand that this is not an essentiality of deen, and this is not something stipulated in deen. If it is done voluntarily, without any force, and having the spirit of cooperation, then it is permissible. However, that one should not feel I have to receive or I have to give. It should not be regarded as part and parcel of stipulated jurisprudic deen of ours.
Alright. So the next question is from a brother. He says, what is the position if I did not complete my qada fast before the current year? The qada of last year, I think.
This is an important question, because many people may feel that because I have got qaza, now I do not have to fast the current Ramadan. However, this is and will be a misconception. A person, even if he has or she has qaza and the month of Ramadan has come, then for the current month, those fasts will have to be kept. And after that, after the month of Ramadan, the qaza fasts which were missed and which were due and which were long overdue should be kept. However, I would like to mention and make an appeal, an earnest appeal, that the Muslims should look around. And unfortunately, there are many, many who are healthy but do not fast. Also, there are many who do not go for Jummah Salat and do not go for Taraweeh Salat. And there are many of those who stand outside the masajid during Taraweeh and also go late for Jummah Salat at the last time. This is grossly unbecoming of Muslims.
Yes. Alright. 26 minutes past 2 o'clock. Mustafa Jazakallah for that clarification. And to the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, yes, we are having the question and the answer session. Due to technical problems, we told you earlier we cannot take on the questions live, but you could SMS us your questions on cell phone number 082-580-8070, and the front desk telephone number is 011-854-7022, and the fax number of Radio Islam is 854-7024. To start SMSing us your questions, inshallah, immediately the number is 082-580-8070. We have still about 35 minutes left for the program. The next question is, salams can interest be given to very, very poor Muslims, Mufti Sahib?
I have explained this
many times.
I think last year, that yes, it is permissible to give interest money to poor Muslims. Now here, there is some difference of opinion. The Indo-Pak ulama say that you should give it without intention of sawab. And some of the Arab ulama are saying that you will get a reward because you are executing what we call wajib al-tasadduq, what was compulsory to distribute. You are doing that because you are completing a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be permissible. So there could be an objection that how come we are saying that a person should utilize interest money. In the Quran Kareem, it is clear, the categorical text is there, that in the event of not getting food, and in the event of dying out of starvation, and in the event of dire necessity and need, then a person can even eat fig meat out of necessity and to the level of necessity. So there you've got a clear text that a Muslim can consume something that has been declared haram, but due to necessity and dire straits, it becomes permissible as per need. So here also, it is as per need and necessity and dire straits this law has been given. It has not been given for any person or every person.
So the next question is from a brother. He says, is it permissible for me to marry a Tamil girl if I convert her to Islam?
One is that it is permissible to do that. However, that if you do not adequately educate them and you do not bring them into the fold of Islam without any ulterior motivation, then you are going to run into difficulties later on. One is the conversion will be valid and the nikah will be valid. But a person should endeavor and make great efforts to educate them so that they become practicing, not that they become Muslim just by name for convenience or to satisfy ulterior motivation. If that is the case, then there will be that marriage, but there will not be Islamic upbringing of the children that are coming, or there will not be Islamic environment forthwith coming.
So the next question is from a brother or sister. There's three questions here. The first one being, can your son-in-law be your mahram?
His son-in-law, in the light of Sharia, is the mahram. However, if the mother-in-law is very young and the son-in-law very young, then some ulama are saying that there should be some distance and some barrier. However, in the text of classical works, the son-in-law is the mahram for the mother-in-law.
All right. The next question is, what is the ruling regarding giving zakat to a person that has jewelry?
Obviously, if that person has got jewelry which is zakatable, meaning above the nisab, and you have given that person zakat, your zakat is not distributed validly, it is invalid, and therefore you will have to repeat, you will have to give the same amount of money as zakat to the deserving, worthy person. The money that you gave to that person who is not deserving and worthy of receiving zakat is in reality not zakat, but lillah.
Right. The next question via SMS salams, is it permissible for women to apply lipstick while fasting? What's up?
While fasting, to apply lipstick, etc., first of all, the application of lipstick itself, to apply it and to go out and to be visible, is totally unacceptable in the light of Sharia. These cosmetics are supposed to be done for the pleasure of the husband, provided the ingredients of those cosmetics are permissible to utilize. That's one. However, application of the lipstick, etc., would not invalidate the fast. Then, if a person has to suck the lips and take the contents of the lipstick down the throat, it will invalidate the fast.
The next question is, can zakat and fitra be given to a non-Muslim?
Zakat and fitra or fitra has its shari valid recipient, that is poor, deserving, worthy Muslims. It cannot be given to non-Muslims. If you want to help non-Muslims poor, then you help them with other money, not zakat or sadqatul fitr. It is permissible, rewardable to help and aid poor non-Muslims.
Right. So the next question from your sister, it says, I am a housewife with no self-income, but I do have a small savings account and some jewels. Must I pay my own zakat or must my husband pay it for me?
If you add up your cash and your jewelry value, and it goes above the nisab, then you will have to pay zakat. If you yourself pay it, it is better and more rewardable, and you will find this tremendous barakah in it. Because you have got money and you are in the position of paying your own zakat, you should try as far as possible to pay your own zakat. First of all, you will be rewarded because you are taking it out from your own money, and Allah will grant tremendous barakah in it. Secondly, that the laws of zakat you will become acquainted to, that how to calculate it and who to give it to. However, if you request your husband to pay your zakat on your behalf and he does so, then that is absolutely permissible. And both of you all, in that case, will be rewarded.
So the next question is, if a woman is trying to fall pregnant, can she write Surah Nuh and not Surah Nur and wait as a taoist?
If some pious, righteous amil has suggested that, then it will be permissible.
Right. If your husband tells you to get out, does that constitute a talaq?
Talaq has got various categories, divisions, types. And the basic type is talaq as-sari, that is clear. Meaning crystal clear words. A person tells his wife, I divorce you. That is clear word. Then we get talaq al-kinaya, ambiguous divorce, ambiguous talaq. That means the person has used words which, coupled with intention of divorce, will tantamount to divorce. In simple words, a person does not use the actual words of divorce, but he uses words, if he has the intention of divorce attached to those words, then that will equate to divorce. So in this case, if he told his wife, go out of the house, or get out of the house, and he meant talaq, and he meant divorce, then one divorce will take place. However, in most cases, having a good opinion that the husbands, if they have to say these words, that go out of the house or get out of the house, they are trying to admonish the wife, or they are saying this in the state of anger as admonition. So no divorce takes place, and yeah, as a rule, we clearly say that please, at no time, say the words of divorce or such words like go out or get out. If there is any difficulty, take consultation, go to some ulama ikram, and especially those who have signed your nikah papers as witnesses, and those who are your appeals, etc., go to them, they are your mahrams, and express your difficulty, problem, so that some adequate, reasonable solution can be found for the domestic dispute.
All right, the time now is 23 minutes to the hour of 3 o'clock, now to Radio Islam, Edom Wave 1548. We still have about 23 minutes left before we terminate the program. And thereafter, inshallah, we have the pledge line with Uncle Buti Ishaq. So get your money ready, inshallah. You can start calling after 3 o'clock and pledge whatever you want to Uncle Buti Ishaq or come in after 3 o'clock. The next question is, Assalamu alaikum, we are in the Pumalanga province. Some masjids call the Isha Namaz exactly 1 hour 20 minutes after sunset. Is Azan Barat Mufti Sahib, and what is the hukam of such a salah?
See, as far as the salat times are concerned, then there is a kitab written by Professor Abdul Latif, and this is an extremely reliable work. It has been sanctioned by the ulama ikram, and it has got times of the whole world based upon longitude and latitude. So try to source that, and then you can determine the first time of Isha Salat, number one. Secondly, a summary of that has been done for the Gauteng area, especially the Johannesburg area, by Darul Uloom Zakaria, and it was published by, called Salat Perpetual Timetable. Thirdly, that the Fazulu Natal Jamiat released a book, and if you phone them, you'll be able to source it, about the Salat times of all the major towns and cities of South Africa. Therein it has been stipulated the first time for Isha. Now, when the first time for Isha has been recorded, that means that that is the valid time of Azan. So I do not know offhand what is the area, which is the area, and what is the first time of Isha. However, if it is the first Shari legal time of Isha and Azan is given, then the Azan is valid, and obviously subsequently the Isha is valid. However, if the Azan is given in a time which is not Isha time, but the Isha is performed at a valid Shari Isha time, then the Isha will be valid, but the Azan obviously would not be valid.
So the next question here is, the tools and the tones of i'tikaf and the best way to spend it. What is the best way to spend i'tikaf?
The best way to spend i'tikaf, first of all, is to understand the reason for i'tikaf, number one. Secondly, that in whichever masjid you are making i'tikaf, is to with certainty know the boundaries of the masjid. Thirdly, if the female is making i'tikaf, then she should know the boundaries of her room or her movement, so she knows and that person knows that I cannot go unnecessarily out of these boundaries. Many times you will find people making i'tikaf, but unnecessarily, without any proper valid Shari reason, they cross the boundaries of the masjid. Thirdly, whilst in i'tikaf, to be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to utilize all the time that you are awake for the pleasure of Allah by making your qaza salat if you got, by reciting Quran Kareem as much as possible, by making zikr and durood sharif upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by attending to the spiritual discourses which are held in the masajid, so that you can have and gain the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, not to indulge in any vain and futile, fruitless activities, otherwise there is no purpose of you going for itikaf, and it is better in that case that you stay outside, you will be rewarded outside. If you go inside also, you must learn and upkeep the ethics and mannerism of the masjid. By being in itikaf does not mean now you would have an unofficial picnic in the masjid by ordering food at late hours, congregating and discussing issues which does not matter, and trying to deliberate on issues after which you will have reached no conclusion. And it is advisable to sit in that masjid and encourage an alim to sit with you, so that some proper education and guidance is all the time on hand. And remember that it is not essential for everybody to sit for itikaf. Secondly, it is not essential for one person to sit all the time for itikaf. Thirdly, that the rule is very clear that it is to bias seclusion and isolation to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another disease and ailment that is coming with the mu'takifin, that they go in there with their cell phone and whole day practically they are phoning their family members. Then it is better in that case for you not to be making itikaf, but to stay with your family members. Also, that you should try to speak less and concentrate on Quran tilawat, performing of qaza, salat, etc.
Alright, let's have JazakAllah for that explanation. We have so many questions. The next question is on the cell phone: can you perform Taraweeh or any other namaz with short sleeve and slippers? Please explain, JazakAllah.
As far as short sleeves is concerned, then there is a very interesting book which has come out now, and it is written by Mufti Ayub Jinnah, Why Taqleed is Necessary. In it he explains towards the latter part of the book that most of the imams of jurisprudence say that it is definitely makruh, detested, to roll up the sleeves. Obviously, pointing to the fact that to let loose the sleeves will be the right course of action to do. Now, as far as Salat is concerned, and even after outside Salat, a person will dress reasonably well. A person will not walk around half naked in front of his father or mother.